So finally, after all the technical difficulties, we are recording now.
Yeah, Windows and their updates.
I hate the Windows update. Whenever you are switching on your system to do something important, it just pops up saying that, you know, you have to wait for an hour and keep showing that percentage which never goes up. But anyway, finally we are updating.
That's actually one reason why I put the laptop to sleep a lot instead of shutting it down.
Then it has other problems when you put it for sleep. I think it becomes a little slow over days.
Yeah. So it's all a mess. Okay, let's move on then.
All right. So, welcome to another episode of Writer and Geek Show. Today we're going to talk about submarines.
I think the first time I heard about submarines was while researching about World War again. And then I think it was in the book 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea where it's explored in detail, even though submarines did not exist back then.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that it never existed back then, but many crude forms of submarines did exist. But the kind of submarine that he is mentioned in the book, that didn't exist. Yeah, it was a very futuristic thought from him, as usual with all his books. We discussed the same in Apollo episodes as well. History of submarine goes little, you know, back in time, almost to, let's say, 15th century, 14th century around. Though it never existed in reality, this concept was floating around. And who other than our favorite Leonardo da Vinci to, you know, sketch down some images of what he called was a ship which could sink other ship. He didn't put any fancy names. He just called it the ship to sink other ship. And he never publicly revealed those diagrams thinking that the naval warfare is going to be really bad in case someone gets this idea.
Yeah, the thing is, Leonardo da Vinci, he has actually predicted a lot of things. He has even made some diagrams of a plane or something.
Helicopter, aeroplane, yeah. A lot of things.
So that guy is a visionary, and the way things have turned out, It's mind-boggling how he has been able to vision things which might come in, which might happen in the future. So, yeah.
Yeah, so just to briefly explain what a submarine is. Submarine, as a word implies, it's something that can, you know, travel underwater. And it can carry people and, you know, keep them dry and warm.
That's one heck of an explanation. I thought submarine is something like something that can submerge in water and, you know, come back.
Yeah, exactly. It is the same thing. Yeah. Now, these days, it's normally used mostly for military purposes, but there are, you know, other private submarines as well, which are used for mostly scientific research and stuff like that. So before we go into the workings of submarine, let's go back to the history again. So Da Vinci, you know, had drawings of submarine which never materialized in real life. And also during the Holy Roman Empire in 1500s, there's a instance where, you know, a couple of guys went underwater in some kind of a structure and they came out all dry. You cannot call it a submarine, but, you know, they all mastered the art of being dry underwater somehow.
Maybe they made a bubble in, like, big enough to fit them underwater.
Yeah, a few years later, William Bond, a British or an English mathematician, I think he was the ancestor of Jason Bourne or something. I mean,
oh, wow. So early. We are like 2 minutes or 3 minutes into it and you started. Okay.
Yeah. So he wrote a book in which he mentioned about an underwater navigation device. And also John Napier, you would have heard him somewhere in mathematics. He was a mathematician. He also mentioned an invention in which divers can stay underwater, you know, breathe and be dry and all that stuff. But all these were concepts, never materialized into something concrete. what you could call as a first real submarine was built in 1620 by Cornelius Drebbel. He was a Dutchman who was working for King James I of England. His craft was not anything close to what it is right now. It was a leather-clad object. And it was, you know how it was propelled? It was propelled using oars. Like the old Greek ships and all that stuff.
You know, PETA will be so mad.
Yeah, thankfully they didn't exist back then. So I think that was fine. Yeah, so this was an early form of submarine. And the interest in submarine started, you know, people started getting more interested in submarine in the 18th century because of its possible application in military and other stuff, like using submarines in war. Was kind of interesting topic for a few people.
Yeah, it's very fancy, right, to use it in combat, you know, go underwater and attack them, their ships and all. Yeah, very fancy.
But the major hurdle was to invent a mechanism which will let you sink and come back to the surface. One of the major milestones in this aspect was in 1747 by Nathaniel Simons. He had this ballast tank idea patented. So what a ballast tank is, so in modern day submarines, for it to sink, it has, so you know these buoyancy forces which act on a body which you put in water. Anything that you put into water, it feels less heavy, right?
Yeah.
So that is because a buoyant force is acting opposite to the force of gravity. So in order for an object to sink, your buoyancy should go to negative value. The way modern submarines do it is by, they have this tanks called ballast tanks, which is normally filled with air when it is on the surface. So immediately for the submarine to sink, they just fill it with water. Okay. So that means the submarine weighs more than water and it just goes down, right? So that was one critical invention and it was patented back in 1747.
It's still used even now.
The concept is still used.
Okay.
So those days it was using leather bags filled with water. Mm. And there was a mechanism to remove the water from bags, which will resurface the craft because air will induce positive buoyancy and it will just come up. But the other person had the patent. So all these whiles, there was no practical use for a submarine. The first time a submarine was used in combat was in 1775.
Are you serious?
Can you imagine in which war would that be? Which was the famous war which was going around in 1775-76 time?
French Revolution.
No, the French Revolution happened after that, right?
1790s.
It was 1789-90s. Uh-huh. This was American Revolution.
Oh,
the Revolutionary
War. That's
what
I meant. Yeah. I just got the name wrong. Seriously.
So when the Americans were fighting against the British, there were a lot of British ships which were anchored in the New York Bay. Right? So, David Bushnell, he was an inventor. He invented a submarine, single person submarine called the Turtle. This device or this craft, if you can call it a craft, was propelled by hand propellers.
Hmm.
So the person who is piloting it really needed to have a great stamina. And it had a lever for, turning the rudder, which would change the direction. The intention was to take this, go underwater under the ships and plant explosives on the hull of the ship, on the sides and all that stuff. Not because torpedoes were not invented those days. You cannot have a long range or distant or warfare from a distance. You literally had to go under the ship, plant the explosives and come back. So that was the intention, to be in stealth mode. He tried convincing Thomas Jefferson, who was an inventor again. If you don't know, Jefferson has invented a lot of stuff.
He's got a lot of patents, if I'm right.
Yeah. So he was intrigued. But George Washington was a little skeptical about this idea, and it soon turned out that this was not a very practical thing to do. It has zero success rate.
Are you serious? Yeah. Okay. Oh, I thought like it's a successful story where he'll go and plant things.
Yeah, there were various attempts made, to do that, but it never materialized. But though it was a failure, it sparked an interest in, using submarine for warfare. Going forward, So the propulsion in this, as I mentioned, was done using a hand crank. So the person had to rotate a crank to turn the propeller and make it move forward, up and down and all that stuff. So this was a primitive form of submarine which was used. The first non-human powered submarine called the Plongeur was launched in 1863 by the French and used compressed air. Air was used as for propulsion, right? And the first combustion powered, like, you know, combustion in the sense using heat energy to convert it into motion, was invented in a submarine called Insignio the Second in Barcelona, Spain, in 1864. This was invented by a person called Nacris Montreal. I mean, the name's a little difficult to pronounce.
Yeah, you butchered it, but it's okay.
I'm sure that it's not even the way I'm, you know, it might be pronounced a different way, but that is the best I can do. Yeah, so that was the first combustion submarine. So from that onwards, since submarines could be used with engines like petrol engines and stuff like that, that was a big leap in the submarine development going forward.
So it was in 1860s, like moved from using the radar and like hand driven stuff.
In fact, it is from 1816s that submarine actually became a submarine, because till then it feels more like just a shell around a human being, right? It's nothing more than that. But the actual potential of submarine came out only after there was another invention called the torpedo, which made submarines really effective. So torpedo was invented in 1866 by Robert Whitehead. Imagine 1866 is a long time back, right?
Whitehead.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of it.
The first steam submarine was invented shortly after this, which could fire the torpedoes. It was called Nordenfelt 1 and had a range of around 240 kilometers. This was invented by an English inventor called George Garrett, and along with a Swedish industrialist called Thorsten Nordenfelt.
So yeah, submarine, yeah, there was no use prior to that. Yep. Like, it can just go underwater and come back. Other than like scientific research or something, there's no point of having a submarine. But the invention of torpedo, it made it lethal.
Yes.
So, yeah, it could be used for wars and all that, which can be seen, I think, in World War One.
Yeah, World War was the time when submarines, the development of submarine grew in leaps and bounds. Before that, Irish inventor called John Philip Holland built a submarine called the Holland Type in 1896. The milestone with this one is that it had a hybrid engine. So by hybrid engine, I mean it used diesel as a fuel to run a generator, which generated electricity, and it drove a electric motor.
Okay.
Pretty much similar to what, you know, hybrid electric cars are today, right? So locomotives also. Diesel locomotives don't burn diesel directly to get power. They burn it. They run the generators. The generators produce electricity. And so it's like a small power unit moving across power station, right? Before that, everything used petrol. So now this was more efficient. And the advantage with this one, we'll come to that, is that when the ship is on the surface, you use the diesel engine to power the generators and store the energy in battery. When the ship is sinking, you need not run the diesel engine. The electric engine does the thing.
Okay, so there is no like emission during the underwater,
which was a big requirement because submarines are supposed to be stealth.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So this was in 1896.
Yeah, this was in 1896 when the hybrid submarine was invented. So we are pretty close to World War. So development of submarine was accelerated a lot during the World War, and the famous, or should I say infamous, U-boats are a testimonial to that. So, beginning of the war, both Germany and England had submarines, but England had significantly more number of submarines than Germany.
Are you serious?
Yes. But then, U-boats came around, which were diesel-powered U-boats. It had a range of around 5,000 miles and a speed of around 15 kilometers per hour. These were really lethal weapons. During First World War, they sank almost 5,000 ships of the Allies.
Oh my God.
So the thing is, underwater warfare was a new thing then, right? You are not prepared for it. You don't have any anti-submarine guns or any kind of things. They just come across, they'll shoot their torpedoes and they'll just sink down to the bottom of the sea and you can never find them again.
Actually, it was a war where like most of the things were new. Tanks, yes. Airplanes, first time used in
That's why it was a great war.
Yeah. So the thing is, in that war, in all the fields of warfare, air,
mm-hmm.
water and land.
Even underwater.
Like, yeah, underwater, yeah. There were like new inventions and everything. Probably like if World War III happens, we'll see war in space too. Who knows?
Of course. But World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones. Isn't Albert Einstein who said that? Yeah. Yeah, so during World War II, again, U-boats wrecked the completely wrecked the English shipping routes and, you know, they posed a great threat during the early stages of the war. US also started developing submarines around that time and they wreaked havoc on Japanese Navy.
During World War II, the Germans used the Enigma code, you know, Enigma machine and everything, even with the U-boats. Mm-hmm. So what they did was, every information was sent to them through Enigma machine and they used a tactic called Rudel tactic, which mm-hmm. is like, you know, come in wolf packs, like a lot of U-boats they'll go together, unlike, you know, individually going. So what they used to do is like they'll target one space and they'll finish off all the ships, convoys and everything which is coming there. So as a pack, it was able to make more impact. And using the Enigma code, it was so much more easier to keep everything stealth.
Yeah.
Before
they broke it. Was it the British who cracked it or the Polish?
Alan Turing. Ah, yeah.
Along with a group of Polish mathematicians. Yeah, but
some
right?
places you'll also find the credit given to US.
Yeah, of course, everything has to be credited to US.
So, it's still debated, but...
Interesting. You know. Yeah, so after the war is when after the war, it was still Cold War period, right? Mm-hmm. Both Russia and US were building more weapons, nuclear stuff. So, invention of nuclear energy, that was another milestone where the first nuclear submarine called the Nautilus was launched in 1954. Nautilus because... That was the name of the submarine in Jules Verne's novel as well.
Yeah.
In the novel, the ship actually goes underneath the South Pole because till then we didn't know that Antarctica existed and it was assumed that South Pole is just polar covered with ice with water underneath. So just to mirror that, Nautilus was the first ship which went under the North Pole on 3rd of August 1958.
Okay, instead of South Pole, they went to
North. South Pole is impossible because there's a landmass. So cool. They started going, they had a mission where they went under the North Pole. Okay, so that's pretty much about the history. From there on, there have been a lot of development, you know, nuclear submarines and even diesel-powered submarines. Most of the countries own submarines these days. Do you know when... So, World War, we saw a lot of U-boats sinking ships and stuff like that. You know, when which country sank... another ship after the war, which was the first submarine attack on a ship which happened after the World War. Can you guess the country which did that and which was a recipient?
I know exactly because I've read this. It was Pakistan against India.
Yeah, Pakistani submarine sank INS Kukri.
Hmm.
But then we being Indians, we didn't, you know, let it go just like that. We sank... a submarine called Ghazi of Pakistan, which was loaned from the US.
Okay. Oh, loaned.
Yes. So
and cancelled a few cricket matches. I hope so.
Anyway.
Okay.
So that's pretty much the history of it. We have come to the modern times. So talking a little bit about the workings of a submarine. How does it work? What is how is it built and what powers it? Submarine has a cigar-shaped hull, if you have seen the pictures of submarine. That is to reduce the water resistance. Going over the water and underwater is entirely different. Under the water, there's a huge resistance that comes into picture, right? So they want a streamlined body. around which water can flow seamlessly and, you know, it can glide through deep waters.
Same like aerodynamic on in the air and, you know, what is it called? Water dynamic?
it's still aerodynamic city, I think. So, normally submarines submerge to a depth of few hundred meters, maybe 600 meters, 700 meters is an average. It cannot go some, not beyond 1,000 meters, which was a Russian submarine which was capable of doing that.
Is it the same one which...
Kursk? No.
Oh, okay. It's a different one. But that was a nuclear submarine, right?
It was a nuclear submarine. So the for more deep sea, investigations and stuff, they have other things called submersibles, which can go even to the bottom of Mariana Trench. Do you know who holds the record for going the most deepest into the trench?
James Cameron?
Yes.
I've already watched that video. I remember watching one video about that.
Yeah. He, after, I think it, there were, there was a trip down Mariana Trench back in 1960s as well, in a craft called Bathyscap or something like that. But this was 50 years later. It was the first attempt by anyone. So totally only three people have visited the bottom of Mariana Trench.
Man,
so
and far. One of them is James Cameron.
Can you believe that it is even more rarer incident than going to moon?
I know. Yeah, only three people. Right? Yeah. Yeah, so when did this happen?
I think this was sometime in 2013 or 11.
Probably after making the movie Titanic, he got into an obsession with submarines and probably wanted to do something like
this. Yeah, it took him 2.5 hours to reach the bottom and he spent around 6 hours there and then came back.
6 hours? Yeah. Well, I thought they might have just went down there. And
No. He did some scientific things as well.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's
cool. Yeah, so that is what people use for deep sea diving and stuff. But the submarine is nowhere close to going that deep because it will get crushed completely. So a submarine has a cigar-shaped body and it has something protruding. If you have seen, there's a bridge kind of a thing. It's called a fin in US and it's called sail in, Europe.
Antenna-aerial.
I think I got it the other way. It's called fin in Europe and sail in the US.
Okay.
That is where submarines also have a bridge. When it is on the surface, people can come and, observe from the bridge. It is on top of the sail. And it also houses periscope and all that kind of instruments. Periscope is something, through which you can observe the surface. Yeah. Early submarines also had snorkels. Snorkels is an air-breathing device tube. So... Germans came up with this idea because it's a diesel engine. They put a tube up to the surface, which will pull air into the submarine even when it is submerged under the water. It had major problems though.
That's the funniest thing I've ever read.
The problem is that you cannot go fast because the snorkel will break off. Second thing is because the snorkel is out on the surface, it created a white trail, which all the fighter planes had to do is just follow the trail, go and bomb it off.
The reconnaissance planes had an easy target because of that. And when I read this, I just laughed out loud. How could they not think about it?
Well, you need air. That's all right. Yeah. I mean,
and if you look at it like a modern submarines, all the submarines have a shape of a fish.
Yep.
Probably we should just, look at nature and like copy
They also tried to use hydrogen peroxide as a oxidizer, like what they do in rockets, without having to carry oxygen, pull oxygen from atmosphere. It didn't work out that well. Success rate was less. So they decided to carry batteries instead. So that is what the diesel electric was. It used to, on the surface, it will run the generators, store the energy in the battery and, go underground. But these submarines had huge limitations as to the time they can spend underwater. They couldn't spend more than few days because diesel engine needed air to, create energy again. And diesel also had to be replaced, right? So that is where the biggest advantage for nuclear submarines came in. So once a nuclear submarine, also nuclear energy doesn't require air. So a submarine can stay submerged even for 6 months and come up the surface once in 6 months. Another advantage is the refueling time. So once a submarine is fueled, when it is launched, do you know what, how long, what is the cycle of fueling it again? Like how many, what is the time that you think that you require to refuel, that is required to?
Because you asked me this question, I know it's like pretty huge. So I'll go with something like 5 years.
So you think once a submarine is launched with full nuclear capacity, after 5 years, you need to refuel it?
Yeah.
Well, it's a long time, but it's not 5 years. It's 25 years.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So normally a submarine's lifetime is 50 years. So half, when it is half the lifetime is when it requires a refueling. And that refueling process is not a small process. They in fact do an overhaul of complete submarine. They bring the submarine to docks and they, you know, rework on everything. So during that time, it is refueled. Usually for aircraft carriers also, they do the same thing. Submarines usually 20 to 25 years. Aircraft carrier 25 years, and the whole process almost takes like 48 months.
Are you serious?
Yeah, so but like look at the efficiency of that fuel. But yeah. Of course, very expensive fuel, right?
See, that's the kind of batteries we should have for our phones.
No, it's not battery. It's nuclear energy.
Yeah, I know. Like our battery should be able to carry that yeah. much energy.
Mine doesn't even last for 8 hours. I recharge twice in a day.
Seriously?
Of course. I still remember when we were using the 3310 Nokia phones, I used to recharge it once in a week. And still, at the end of the week, you'll still have one block left. And you used to feel, you know, that...
Panic
because there is only one block left. Now it is like you're at the edge of the danger. Anyway, so that's the advantage of nuclear submarine. So the way a submarine sinks now, as I mentioned earlier, it uses ballast tanks. So it has tanks in along the surface, you know, front and in the middle of the submarine. Apart from that, for faster diving, they also have tail planes. So you'd have seen rudder-like structure and behind, four fins will be there behind the submarine. So moving those planes also, the submarine can dive and come up.
Okay.
So even the bridge has a couple of planes.
So that's what they've used in Fast and Furious 8, I think.
Of course. It has to jump. Yeah, I've not seen the movie, but I've seen the scene. It was too much.
Just the final scene, if you have watched, you'd get to know anyway. That's like so funny. It's like a submarine is a dolphin.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Now again, when you're underwater, you don't have a window or something to see outside you. So you're going blind basically, right? Mm. So you need very good navigation and communication equipment.
So there are like no windows in submarines.
What are you going to see out of the window under the water? It will be pitch dark, right?
Yeah, that's true.
There might be windows. I'm not sure about them, but you're not using those windows to kind of see where you're going. So for that, they use sonar. Mm. Right. So they use sonar sensors, which are, there are two kind of sonar sensors. One is active and one is passive. Active are the ones where the source sends a sound signal into the sea and, you know, it kind of catches a reflection and identifies whether there is something. But this process makes the submarine more visible and less stealth. So they use mostly passive sonars, which can catch the ship's propeller sound from, you know, miles away. So that is how they understand what are the obstacles that they have on their path.
Okay, so it takes in whatever reflection is coming from the sources outside the submarine.
Yes.
Okay, that's cool. And I think it also like helps the marine life because using sonar, active sonar is like...
It might interfere with their stuff because I think dolphins also use sonar.
Yeah, so it's better.
And these sonar devices are located in the hull, you know, in the front side of the ship, or they are towed in lines behind the submarine as they go. It's just to keep it away from the body of the submarine because submarine itself produces a lot of sound. Talking about the noise, diesel submarines have an advantage there over nuclear submarines because nuclear submarines require this cooling pump and all that functioning all through the, you know, journey. And it creates a lot of sounds. But in a diesel-powered submarine, once the diesel engine is shut off, it's just electrical energy. It's like a Tesla. You don't hear anything, right? Wow. So that is one advantage we can think about. And modern submarines have internal guidance systems that tell the pilot or whoever is operating the craft I think they're called pilots, wouldn't they? Their location under the water. But these devices tend to go out of sync, you know, become inaccurate over a period of time. So they, once they surface, they lock it, they kind of sync it with the GPS and correct it. So that's how they make sure that, you know, it's not going too much into the error mode.
So still there are like some issues which needs to be like corrected.
Yeah. And when they're on surface, sparingly they use periscope to see, you know, observe around and all. But these days they are not used that much. It was more prominent in the early days during the war and all that. Communication with other ships are carried using low frequency and in short bursts to avoid detection. And submarine is in a constant state of radio silence. You don't, you know, like what happens in aircraft, they don't keep talking to each other. They are mostly silent. Only when required, they'll keep, they'll send a short message.
So if you want to like contact the submarine, you'll have to just burst it out like in every frequency so that they catch it probably.
So going under the water is almost similar to going to space because you don't have breathing air and all that. And now one major requirement under the water is fresh water.
Yeah.
Though you're surrounded with seawater, that cannot be used for anything, right? So they have this electrolysis and osmosis method of generating water. A normal nuclear submarine, you know, requires around 30,000 to 70,000 around liters of water a day.
Are you serious? Yep. For what?
Lot of things.
Does the nuclear reactor to use it?
Yes,
okay, it does. I thought it's just for like washing
because,
and bathing.
Nuclear reactor heats water and that is what rotates the turbines. That is one thing. And of course, human requirements. That is also another thing.
So it has actually come a long way because during World Wars and all that, it was so cramped and, you know.
Yeah, I had watched one small documentary about Indian submarines as well. They are diesel submarines. I saw something very different. They say water is so scarce that, you know, throughout the duration of the mission, which is like 45 days to 60 days, the crew doesn't take shower. To counter that, they have this disposable kind of clothes, which they wear for a couple of days and one shot, like 2 days, 3 days, which has some kind of disinfectant, which keeps them fresh and clean. I mean, I wouldn't want that anyway. I want my shower any day.
I can't even imagine that, seriously.
Yeah, so water is generated through electrolysis and carbon dioxide is something that is generated inside the ship because people are breathing, right, and moisture. So they use carbon dioxide scrubber to remove carbon dioxide from the atmosphere of submarine, which is similar to what they have in Apollo spacecraft as well. Fresh water, as we mentioned, reverse osmosis method, the electrolyzed water is used and again, all that is done. The typical number of crew in a submarine is 80 people.
Hmm.
Conditions are not that easy, difficult situations. Because of that, women were not allowed to be a part of submarine crew till 1985 when Norwegian Royal, till 1985 when Norway decided to let women join the submarine troops. And following that, many other countries also let. I think latest was Britain back in 2013 or something.
Okay, that yeah. Late. Okay.
So India also owns few submarines. There are different classes. Chakra class is the one which is an attack submarine. So there are two kind of submarine, attack submarine and ballistic submarine. Ballistic missile submarine can launch a ballistic missile from anywhere underwater. Attack submarine is used mostly for, torpedoes and war with other ships kind of thing. So Chakra class is an attack submarine which is under a 10-year lease from Russia.
Okay.
Okay, since we got it in 2012 or something. Arihant class is a ballistic missile submarine which we own, which was commissioned in 2016. Apart from these, there are 14 diesel electric submarines in use currently with India.
Hopefully, which we own.
Yeah, I think they are all decommissioned Russian submarines, okay, which we have bought from them or something like that. Yeah, so these are the submarines that we own, and submarines are awesome as usual. They are very risky. We know what happened with Kursk.
It's practically drowning.
Of course. But in a controlled way. Yeah. That is the difference. So, yeah,
getting back to Kursk.
yeah, that was a tragedy which happened. Maybe for another episode, it would take more of our time to explain that. So that's pretty much about submarines. They're really cool.
Pretty cool.